We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now, hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Kyle LaFond. As a former wildlife biologist and middle school science teacher, Kyle was uniquely positioned to create a line of chemical-free alternatives to popular personal care and lifestyle products. These formulations provided the foundation for American provenance. When he's not working, Kyle enjoys time in the woods, on the water, or frequenting his favorite restaurants and coffee shops. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Great, Lori. Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm excited that you are here as well. And you made the trip from Madison, so I appreciate that.
No problem.
So, American provenance, what was the inspiration for this company overall? I mean, going from wildlife biologist to middle school science teacher to now owning a very large company, quite the shift.
Yeah, kind of all roads converge and lead in the same direction. So I've got more college degrees than I really care to mention, but all of them somewhat geared towards the sciences. So for me personally, I had a great kind of sounding board when I was teaching both middle school and high school science. My aha moment was actually walking down my hallway one morning and seeing this just gross chemical fog of Axe body spray as my male students were dousing one another. And I kind of put two and two together because at that point I had been getting some fairly substantial headaches in the afternoons. And I was teaching in rural, old, outdated schools with very poor ventilation, no windows. So I just thought to myself, wow, I am breathing in this noxious garbage every single day. Uh-huh. It's no wonder why I feel bad towards the end of the day. So at that time, I grabbed some of my students. I said, all right, hey, tell you what, bring in something you use every single day. Bring it to class tomorrow. We're going to take a look at what all these chemicals are and figure out what their purpose is and how they can possibly affect us. So all my kids did that. And the first year, we just basically read through labels and looked into ingredients. Mm-hmm. Year two, I want to take a step further, and I bought a whole bunch of raw materials and basically demonstrated how to build your own, create your own wow. personal care products.
Okay.
It was the only assignment that I had ever developed that kids the coming year actually came in and asked if we were going to do the following year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was
wow.
It was very popular with my students.
That's awesome.
They all wanted to do the deodorant project, as they called it. because, yeah, over the course of 4 or 5 years, especially in middle school, I was modeling a lot. So I made about 30 different deodorant recipes and finally found one that I really liked, gave it out to my friends and family members, and the response was overwhelmingly positive.
Cool.
Yeah, at that point, I just thought, we're onto something here, and American provenance was born.
Wow. So going from middle school and high school smelly boys to a national well-known product. That's a great story.
Well, thanks.
Thank you for sharing that with our listeners.
There's a lot to be learned from stinky boys.
So obviously it was the boys that inspired and their stench that inspired the product. But what is the customer profile of American Provenance right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. When I first started out, I thought our customer base would be pretty evenly split 50-50 men and women. But we've come to find out over the course of the past 2.5 years that it's skewed wildly towards women. About 90% of our customers are women. And, you know, we've tried to delve in to figure out why that is. Actually, a couple reasons. Number one, when I tend to ask married gentlemen what deodorant they wear, they always say, oh, whatever my wife buys me.
Okay.
I thought, okay, interesting. And then when I talk to younger guys who perhaps are in college or high school, what kind of deodorant do you wear? Well, you know, the deodorant fairy delivers it right to my dresser. Deodorant fairy? Oh, yeah, your mom. Okay, your mom buys your deodorant.
Interesting.
So what we found with guys, it's they're kind of the outliers that go out and actually select their own deodorant. They still kind of rely on mom or a partner or a spouse to buy their personal care products for them, which is outdated and weird, I think. But It tends to be the recurring thing.
Interesting. Okay. So 90% women. But I do see you have a line specifically for men. So are you still selling a good amount of the male products as well?
We are. And it's kind of broken up into two different specialties. Deodorants, of course, are a big thing. But when you look at a pharmacy or a grocery store or even a specialty shop and try and find natural organic products for men, there's very few out there.
Okay.
There's all kinds of great stuff for women, but there's a real shortfall for men. And that's kind of another reason why I started the company, was because I was frustrated because I couldn't find any of these products out there that I wanted to use myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, you know, if I can't find it, I'm going to do some research. And with my science background, I'm going to make it myself. So I've been making beard balm and pomade since I first started the project when I was teaching, and we added those to rotation, and they've taken off as well. We have a pretty dedicated customer base for our beard balms, and it's funny how beard balms are very kind of calendar driven. October through January, we sell a ton of them, and then of course guys shave when it gets a little bit warmer,
yep.
And then they kind of fall off for the year. So it's funny how cyclical that particular product is. But yeah, we wanted to have products for men because there is an obvious shortfall out there.
Wow. Yeah, interesting. I like the beard balms. it's an interesting audience and market.
Yes.
And I don't know much about it, but it's obviously there's a huge market for that, I'd imagine.
Yeah. There are a lot of guys that just don't know much about beard products. And, you know, when I talk to folks, I say, as your facial hair gets longer, it's just like the hair in your head, it tends to dry out.
Yep.
And when it dries out, it becomes this great breeding ground for all kinds of bacteria.
Yeah.
So what you need to do is you need to find something to offset that. So basically, a beard balm is a really nice way to basically keep both your skin and your face and your hair lubricated, moisturized. And there's an added benefit that it smells nice.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of education to everything that we do to make sure that people know why they're using products and why it's important to go natural.
Yeah. Makes sense. I'm thinking of my brother right now that I should get some of this for him. He's one of those guys that keeps the big beard year round.
So. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Well, you started in May of 2015, and I know that you are in over 700 retail locations. What do you attribute your success to?
A whole bunch of different things kind of coming together. First and foremost, I have a wonderful team. I was very fortunate when I first started the company to rely on a lot of very talented individuals. Some folks I had known for many years, and others, like David, my general manager, that I had just met. And the wonderful thing about it is everyone that I brought on has had the same mentality, the same passion, the same kind of fire in their belly and to get natural organic products out there. So yeah, I think first and foremost, the team behind me that's helped out with everything from production to design to marketing to branding, you name it. And then I think one of the other things that's really kind of set us apart is just how aggressive I've been from the gate.
Mm-hmm.
I am kind of the weird guy out there where instead of relying on an email or a phone call, I'll just jump in my car and show up somewhere.
And here you are today.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time in my car over the course of the past 3 years.
Okay.
But I think it's been time very well spent. There are a lot of folks out there that just don't put in the legwork, don't want to go on the road, don't want to do the face-to-face,
mm-hmm.
just kind of take the quick and easy approach of shooting an email or text message or placing just a short phone call.
Yep.
Whereas when I show up at a pharmacy or a grocery store or somewhere else and say, hey, I'm Kyle, I'm the founder of this company, here are some products I want you to try. If you like them, go ahead and email or text me and we'll send an order out. So just that face-to-face time and being out there and out front of the company, I think that's the best way to be. One of the old adages that I try to live by is, you know, we stand behind our products and in front of our consumers.
Oh, I like that. That's
well,
really, that's strong. Well, and I mean, as an organic product itself, it's, you know, it sounds like you've grown organically,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
and literally, you know, grassroots efforts and knocking on doors and getting in front of people instead of doing some of the, you know, more current trends as far as, you know, bringing a product to market.
Mm-hmm.
Well, congrats.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And cheers to many more successes.
I hope so.
So let's talk about networking a little bit. Can you share with me your most successful or favorite networking story or experience that you've had?
Sure. Some of my best networking times are actually when I put the phone down.
Okay.
You know, and that sounds kind of crazy in today's advanced technological age. But I think actually having time one-on-one or a small group of people where you form that personal connection, that personal bond, I think it's very, very strong. Mm-hmm. So what I've done since I launched the company, I've actually reached out to a number of folks that either I admire or I've seen that have had great success and just asked them, hey, can I join you for a cup of coffee or lunch sometime? I just want to pick your brain about a few things. I'm not going to get too in-depth with my questions or what I'm trying to find out, but I just want to kind of see how you operate and understand how you conduct your business. So most folks I've reached out to have been very, very receptive mm-hmm. in terms of just committing basically an hour to having a cup of coffee and just me peppering them with questions that, again, aren't too deep about their business, more broad-based, very general, and just getting to know them. And it's been shocking to me how 45 minutes to 1 hour really pays huge dividends, mm-hmm. not only with the folks I'm sitting down with, but oftentimes when these conversations are over, they'll say, well, hey, I'd like to meet so-and-so, mm-hmm. or I think you'd really get along with this person, or I think this company could help you out. So just taking the initiative to reach out and request that personal one-on-one time or even small group time, I think has been hugely beneficial to me and my company.
Good. Do you have a specific example that you can share of someone that you reached out to that kind of exploded into a really positive experience?
Well, we're here in Wisconsin, and of course, Wisconsin is kind of the beer capital of the United States, mm-hmm. correct? Mm-hmm. So we have all kinds of business owners who are either brewery owners or, matter of fact, creamery owners making cheese or dairy products. So some of my best conversations have been with Alex Evans, who is one of the founders of Carbon 4 Brewing in Madison. And then Peter Gentry, who is also a personal friend, but the founder of One Barrel Brewing in Madison. Mm-hmm. So taking time with those guys, just to understand how they launch their businesses, the correct bankers to talk to, the correct insurance people to talk to, the correct marketing people to talk to, branding people, packaging people, labeling people, you name it. Yep. So it's been wonderful to rely on those guys and have them kind of as a sounding board for everything that we've done. Yeah. So a lot of times those meetings, since they are brewery owners, tend to happen at breweries.
Oh, shucks.
Oh, shucks is right. That might not be the best direction for everyone, but here in Wisconsin, there's a lot of stuff that gets done at the bar.
Yep. This is true.
So interesting how that works.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for sharing that with us.
Yeah, of course.
And we had one of the founders of Carbon 4 on our show not too long ago.
Great, great.
Really good discussion.
Yes. Very. Is that Ryan or Zach?
That was Zach.
Zach, yep, all right.
Zach,
fantastic.
Was on the show. All right. So how do you stay in front of or best nurture your network?
I participate. Okay. And that doesn't sound like much. But realistically, I think, you know, people when they're sitting at their desk or in their office or looking at their phone, they got all kinds of meeting requests or networking event requests or whatever else. Mm-hmm. And I think a huge part of it is just showing up, mm-hmm. being front and center. And again, it sounds silly, but taking those invitations seriously and taking full advantage of the opportunities that you have to, again, get in front of folks that you're not only familiar with, but people that know them and extend your circle. So again, I think just showing up at these events is the way to do it. And you hear it time and time again, just show up. I mean, in actuality, that's 90% of the battle. Getting out of your comfort zone and being willing to take that step and put yourself out there a little bit to, again, strengthen the existing bonds you have, but also meet some new folks.
Yeah, and what you said here is getting out of your comfort zone. So where did you kind of step out of your comfort zone that helped you kind of springboard things a little bit?
That was another kind of aha moment. Where basically, I think in everyone's life, you get to a point where you just kind of throw caution to the wind and you kind of forget or disregard what everyone else may think or say.
Uh-huh.
And you just do your thing and you just be you.
Amen.
And I think once you get to that point and you figure out, you know, the most important opinion out there is probably my own. Uh-huh. I'm not going to concern myself with what everyone else thinks. And I'm just going to go out there and be me. And, you know, if they like me, great. If they don't, well, there's opportunities, other people to meet. Mm-hmm. So I think getting out of your comfort zone is just being comfortable with yourself and being willing to actually walk through the door and say, here I am. This is me. I like it or not.
I like that. It's very, very true. And just, you know, being comfortable with yourself and not really worrying too much about what others think about you, lets you to move forward a lot faster.
Oh, yeah. It makes you stand out a little bit, too. I mean, a lot of these things, you know, today, plaid shirt and a V-neck T-shirt, that's kind of my style. I usually always wear my ball cap as well.
So, I like it. It's a good look.
There you go. But I think it's kind of funny when I go to these network events and see folks in sport jackets or suits or ties. And then I'm the guy that walks in with a rolled up plaid t-shirt and I've got tattoos all over the place. So yeah, I'm fairly odd, but I'm comfortable with myself.
I can appreciate that. I get lots of comments on my blue hair. Which someone asked me the other day if that's part of my brand. I'm like, huh, I never thought about it. But I guess if you're asking me, then it is, right?
Yes.
And you know, everyone's supposed to be professional if you're in business, but you can still have fun and express yourself a little bit. So
that's just it. I think things are changing. I think they've been changed for the past 20 years with folks getting away from the formalities and kind of like this stuffy air of needing to be a professional or quote unquote professional.
Yep.
Whereas I think people are looking more towards people being authentic and being real and being relatable.
Yep. Well, and being comfortable.
Yeah.
Right? If you're not comfortable wearing that stiff suit, you're not going to push your best self forward. Mm-hmm. Right? If you're exactly more comfortable right. in a ball cap and flannel, then you're going to produce better work at the end of the day, right?
Exactly. At least that's the theory.
I believe it.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Okay, Kyle, what advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
The business professional is looking to grow their network. I think ask questions. And again, that sounds silly. But when you're in an environment or you're with someone who you respect and admire, just basically asking them, who do you know that can help me out with this? Or who do you know that has experience with this? Or who do you know that you think would be a good mentor for what I'm trying to accomplish? So a lot of times the answers aren't going to come to you. You have to go seek them out. Mm-hmm. And so I think, again, being active, showing up, asking not only the right questions, but a lot of questions is probably the best way to be. I think that's probably the best way to grow your network is to really be aggressive in terms of finding out who's out there, what their expertise are, and how a relationship with them can benefit both you personally and professionally.
Yeah, that's really good advice. I see this a lot in the type A entrepreneurial individuals that I'm doing it all myself, where you don't need to do it all yourself. And I'd say more times than not, people are willing to help you.
Oh, yeah.
So going out there and giving the ask will be respected and appreciated, because then they're being viewed as someone who is knowledgeable.
Yes.
And they want to help out.
That's exactly it. I think people appreciate being asked questions. I mean, of course, not too much, but within reason.
Correct. You don't want to abuse it.
Exactly. Yep. But it shows you're interested in their operations and what they do, and you want them to help.
Yeah. Really good advice. Asking a lot of questions. I'm assuming I know how you're going to answer this based on our conversation so far. but we are in a very digital world nowadays. So I am curious, which one do you find more value in, digital networking or traditional networking?
Oh, you know I'm going to say traditional.
I knew it.
That's just kind of the guy I am. Of course, there's value in both. And I think maybe the correct answer is having a suitable mix of both digital and traditional. Mm-hmm. For me personally, I think my strength is actually going in, showing up, shaking hands, forming that quick personal bond and trying to establish a relationship. Whereas you're well aware with our general manager, David, mm-hmm. we have very different personalities. And you actually gave me a book the last time we met, Rocket Fuel, and we've both read that now, which is fantastic.
Good. I'm so glad you liked it.
Because it really helps explain our relationship and kind of how we function. With me being the visionary, kind of having the big picture for what we want to accomplish, and then David being the integrator, the guy who basically here's the vision and figures out how we actually achieve that. Uh-huh. So for me, of course, I think the more traditional thing, being the visionary, being the one that wants to be out there in front of things, the traditional approach is much better.
Yeah.
And for David, who's more of a behind the scenes, kind of the guy that makes every cog and wheel function, I think the digital approach is probably best for him.
So,
I think it's just based on personalities and roles. So I think perhaps for folks who are visionaries or founders or the ones that really kind of see the grand plan. I think maybe the traditional thing works, but for the folks who are the integrators and kind of behind the scenes, maybe the digital thing works best for them. So they can focus more or less on accomplishing what they have to do at the shop or the office and let the visionary be the one that kind of presses the flesh.
I really like how you paired that to that visionary integrator role. Most individuals that I interview break it up into extrovert versus introvert.
Oh, sure. Right?
But it makes a lot of sense as far as that visionary person is more traditional in a lot of ways because mm-hmm. that's where they're out in the world getting ideas and sharing the ideas, mm-hmm. where the integrator is the one, yeah, doing the work.
Yeah.
Which oftentimes is behind the scenes.
Exactly.
Where digital is very much behind the scenes. So that was interesting. That was really good. All right, here's a fun one. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
That's a great question. I think the advice I would give my 20-year-old self would be just to do it.
Yeah.
Just stop caring. Stop caring about what everyone else might think or what everyone else wants you to do. You know, figure out what it is that you're meant to do and pursue it. I think for me personally, I don't want to say I wasted a few years because everything kind of led to the same path and the experience that I've had have really been beneficial in terms of owning my own business. But I almost wish I would have done it sooner.
Okay.
It's one of those things where I think we fall in these traditional notions of, you know, you have to go to school, have to go to college, then you get an entry-level job, then you kind of define what you want to do for your career. Where that's changing. And I think everyone sees that's changing overnight.
It is.
You know, you look at our parents' generation and they were in two or three jobs for the entirety of their career.
Yeah.
Whereas most of my friends who are very successful, they have a different job every year, year and a half.
Yep.
Which is kind of crazy.
It hurts the business owners.
It hurts the business owners because, the turnover is not good.
No, yep. You get it too. I understand why. Yep. It makes sense.
Everybody wants to move up mm-hmm. and have an experience and do something that's challenging and different.
Yep.
So I think part of having a small business is maintaining an environment where it still allows folks to be creative.
Yep.
Allows folks to do different things all the time and not be stuck in the same kind of role day after day after day. So getting back to the question, I think if I was talking to my 20-year-old self, I'd say, you know, forget about all that outside noise, all that outside distraction. Figure out what you want to do and do it now.
Yeah.
Don't wait.
That's really good advice.
Well, thanks.
Nice. Just do it. Nike yes. style.
I suppose I'll be hearing from the legal team later on.
Maybe I will, not you. Who knows? Okay, so we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Who would be the one person you'd love to connect with, and do you think you could do it within the 6th degree?
6 degrees of separation. Who I'd like to connect with. Of course, everybody probably says celebrities or writers or authors anything and everything like that. Let's see here. I'm probably going to go the same route and do something very similar.
That's okay.
Jeez. It's in my mind today because I actually heard it on NPR when I was driving over this morning. They had interviewed George Clooney.
Oh.
And George Clooney was talking about how he has occasionally thought about running for president. And I thought, oh, that's fascinating. You know, the guy's led a pretty crazy life in terms of being involved with not only his film career and his acting career, but also in social justice movements, in politics, you name it. So I think he's got a pretty well-rounded background. And I wouldn't be surprised within 6 degrees of separation if somebody somewhere knows his publicist or some other way where we could be connected. I've got a lot of respect for the guy. And again, the things that he's done based off his celebrity, especially in Africa with Darfur and everything else, I think it's wonderful that he has that social conscience and does things well beyond what his acting career has led to.
Yeah, I appreciate celebrities that do good with their name mm-hmm. as opposed to the opposite. I just think it's ironic because I watched Ocean's 11 last night. So I'm like, oh, he's really fresh in my mind right now. although he looks very young in that movie. No?
Yes.
I was surprised by that. So you said you might have, you'd find someone potentially, but is there anyone in mind that you think of that might have that first step forward to connecting with him?
Let's see here. Well, it's kind of funny. I actually went to New York last September, and I did a bunch of desk side visits with all kinds of publications, like Men's Journal, Women's Health. I went to Good Housekeeping. And my last interview was with People magazine.
Okay.
And the gal that interviewed me, she's wonderful. We kept in touch via email, Instagram, and everything else. And I'm sure at some point she knows somebody that could get in contact with them.
So you have a starting point.
Yeah, I have a starting point.
Okay, good.
I have a starting point. So hopefully as we continue to grow, we can do that.
We'll tag them on Twitter and see if they respond to this.
That'd be awesome. I got to get some good one-liners or zingers in here then so he can appreciate those.
Oh, you've said a lot of really good advice already here. Okay, so you did talk about the book Rocket Fuel. And I know as an entrepreneur, you're constantly reading and getting, you know, as much knowledge as you can take in. So I always like to ask my guests, what book are you reading right now?
So Rocket Fuel, I just finished up. I'm reading a book called Scaling Up right now, actually. Mm-hmm. And that's about taking companies, of course, from very small, humble beginnings and figuring out how to manage exponential growth. And it's fascinating because there's all kinds of different ways to do it depending upon your industry or your segment. But there are some underlying themes that are very consistent throughout in terms of having the right people in place at the right time, mm-hmm. executing the right tasks, and realizing that perhaps, you know, the way you started can't be the way you continue to function as you grow your business.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of businesses, I think, tend to get stagnant because they do the same thing over and over and over again and aren't prepared to take that next step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can whiteboard all day long what they want to do, how they want to accomplish things. But when it comes to actually putting logistics in place and getting people and schedules and buildings and equipment and infrastructure and just the timing of everything, there are some key themes that, again, resonate through all industries. So it's been a great read to kind of figure out, you know, if we go that route and we experience this exponential growth, what's that going to mean for us?
Mm-hmm.
Not only from an in revenue standpoint, but from a culture standpoint.
Yep.
You know, going from what we like to call a small potatoes company,
yep,
to a mid-sized potato, to a big potato company. And how do we do that? How do we kind of cross that bridge and still maintain the feel and the aura that we have and not lose anything that's essential to our business or our identity?
Yeah, that's very hard to do.
Oh, my gosh.
It's
yeah.
Very hard. One of the reasons I don't want to grow too big is because I don't want the culture to change.
That's exactly it.
So, which is very challenging.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you talk about culture shift and you bring in more people, more products, more complexities, things are bound to change.
Yep.
And unless you understand that change and you appreciate that change, a lot of folks can be very resistant to
mm-hmm.
it. And I get it.
Yeah.
I completely understand.
Absolutely.
Because I think with some smaller companies, you get to a point where it's a wonderful environment. You love coming to work. And perhaps maybe that's the first time you've ever had that feeling about your profession. And you just don't want to see that change.
Uh-huh.
So it's scary to think about, hey, you know, we might be making this substantial step. It's going to involve a lot of different things and changes along the way. And I hope you guys are on board. I hope you guys understand what we're trying to accomplish, because in the end, it's going to be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's kind of like making sausage. Since we're here in Wisconsin, we're going to talk about beer, cheese, and sausage.
Yeah, I see that.
So, I mean, sausage is delicious, right? But no one actually wants to see how it's made, what it's made of,
uh-huh.
until it's in the casing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like scaling up.
Yep.
It can be a little bit sloppy and kind of gross sometimes, but hopefully at the end, it turns out well.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll cross our fingers there. I definitely have heard of that book. I have not yet read it, so I'm definitely going to be adding that to my to read list.
Yes.
Which is fairly long right now.
You're an entrepreneur as well.
I need more hours in the day.
That's just it. I need to work on my skimming.
Yes.
It's one of those things where when I pick up a good book, it's very difficult to skim if I'm interested. I need to dial in and be focused. So yeah, finding the time for that is a challenge.
Yeah, I do that. I'll reread paragraphs to just really understand exactly what the message is.
Yes.
Which slows down the whole reading process then. All right, Kyle, any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Sure. Let's see here. Something I've been thinking about quite a bit lately is as you grow, oftentimes you're exposed to new audiences, new retailers, whatever else. And I really feel that criticism is cheap and easy. And if you're truly an innovator and you're passionate about your products, what you're trying to accomplish, you need to be able to handle that criticism. Because there are going to be people that look at your products, look at your labels, look at your packaging, may not understand or appreciate it. And these days, of course, it's very easy to fire off a poor review,
mm-hmm.
something negative on Twitter, or even something nasty on Facebook or any other social media outlet. So I think my big thing is I'll take it from the Obamas. When they go low, we go high. Yeah. It's one of those things where we tend to respond to criticism that we receive. It's always with a nicety and, hey, can we send you some free samples in the mail? Or how can we make this better? Or how can we improve your experience with our products? Mm-hmm. So I think in terms of going back to networking and your business outreach, I think staying positive and I think being able to handle criticism and being able to have those difficult conversations with a smile on your face, that goes a long way. Yes. So being a business owner, it's going to test your patience.
Yes.
And understanding that, you know, it's very important not to have those hot shot responses, but to take your time, think things through, be logical, be reasonable, mm-hmm. and above everything, be nice.
Yeah.
Being nice and remembering someone's name or acknowledging them or appreciating even their very negative criticism, yeah, it's going to shine a positive light on you.
It will. And even though at the moment that it's happening, they may not appreciate it, they're going to remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Down the road, for sure.
Yep. I've gotten messages in the past where, hey, you know, thanks for responding to my criticism. I really appreciate the time that, you know, you signaled me out or you reached out to me. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people, when they criticize, they don't expect anything.
Yeah.
So to actually come back and offer something positive, I think that's a real rarity. Yeah. And it shows a lot about a company and individual's character if you're willing to accept that criticism and try to take it a different direction.
Yeah, absolutely. Really good. So, Kyle, if anyone is interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
I'm an open book, and I love being transparent. My email is just kyle@americanprovenance.com. Otherwise, I do a lot of stuff on the phone via voicemail, text messages, so folks can feel free to reach out. My line is 608-338-5953. I actually include that in a lot of our shipments, so if people want to reach me, they can. It's one of those things where I don't see presidents, founders, CEOs of large international companies putting their personal information in the boxes that get shipped out. But I feel that's important.
It
so if
is.
People have something that they want to say or if they have a recommendation or if they have an idea for our business, I'm open to hearing it. I've got this other old adage where I hear everybody, but I'm very careful about who I actually listen to.
Oh, nice. Wow. And we will include that information in the show notes. Thank you for your open book transparency approach here. And obviously that speaks true to everything that your company stands for.
Great. Yes. Thank you. It's been wonderful to be here.
Absolutely. It's been a great conversation. And thank you for taking the time and also making the trip to come and have this conversation in person. I appreciate it.
Of course. Anytime.
Well, this wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Kyle LaFond for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.